to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 119. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who had a coffee-gasm right before
damn
we started.
Straight, and it was a good one.
Right before we started recording. Apparently he enjoyed that coffee-gasm.
Yeah.
John Brownstone. And God, if that's somebody's first introduction to you, I don't know what we just did to people. Hopefully
that doesn't make a that doesn't make a very good online impression, does it?
Oh, I don't know, or you've turned some people on. somebody's underwear just melted right off. This week, we're talking about meeting new people in the kink community, whether as a partner or as a friend, to see if you want to join that community, and how to decide if they're your kind of people or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, something kind of different, a little different. Yep. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. This is your first time listening. Glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, that's PC as in podcast, Joe, or on Instagram at LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. I freaking hate that handle. That was a very not so gentle nudge there. Ow. And all links are in the show notes. This week's sponsor, once again, is Play, the very first kink lifestyle brand that was started by two kinksters, Sasha and Sir Lucifer. You just went and checked out Sir Lucifer on FetLife, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's funny. That was a funny story.
Yes, it was.
You read to me. So, yeah, they're definitely our people.
I like him. Got a good sense of humor.
Yes.
And a good sight.
Yes, absolutely. And so there's a reason for that. I feel if for anybody who listens to podcasts, if you listen to Pod Save America and you hear how they do ads, that's the moment I feel like we're having now, but not as funny or as talented as those guys are. we're not at that level, but I'm going to try to get through this because they're nice people and we like their site, and kinky fuckery by mail makes me very happy. So I assume it makes other people very happy. Anyway, they are kinky. So for them, safe, sane, and consensual is important. Their toys are decent toys, and they call it, they're called Play, and their toys boxes that they sell are called Play boxes, and I love that. I love that. So go to get, I'm going to get this wrong. No, I'm going to get this right. Getplay.adult. I typed it in without thinking about it. It's the saying it into the microphone part that's hard. Getplay.adult. And they are working on an app. They're going to do something on Indiegogo very soon. And I think that even if they're not a sponsor of the show at the time, I will make sure we put that out because that sounds interesting. And if you're interested in some kinky fuckery by mail, go to their site. Look at their play boxes. There's impact play. There's temperature play. There's anal. There's all kinds of stuff. There's bondage because it's a kink site, y'all. So when you go, if you decide to buy, show your support for the show. Let them know that we sent you by using code LOVINGBDSM, all one word. Getplay.adult. The code, if you decide to buy something, is LOVINGBDSM. Ta-da! Yay! Oh, God, I hope Sasha and Sir Lucifer forgive me for that. I do have, like, teeny tiny little itty-bitty announcements. Teeny tiny little.
You notice I was good. I got very quiet. I sat back.
I know.
And let you.
And it was me looking at you. But see, this is what the people listening don't know. You give me those looks. Your eyes do the thing. Your eyebrows do the thing. And then I'm you're talking to me. And only I would know what you're saying, which makes me sound like a crazy person. But really, that does make sense. I know your expressions is what I'm trying to say. But I do have a couple of announcements. Okay, we're good. I can do that.
We're
okay.
Good.
Thank you. One, you have a Dom meeting Saturday night. Saturday the 16th.
Yes.
8 p.m. our time, Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time.
Do you know what you're talking about yet?
No.
Well, I never know till I turn on the
I have some
camera.
Ideas, but
oh,
yeah.
There you go. Well, and that is for, if anybody's new or unsure, that is for our kinky fuckery level paid members of the community. You can identify as a dom in any way at any point. So certainly switches are welcome and people who are exploring their dominant energy and all kinds of good stuff. So yeah, that is Saturday night. And we have gotten, and I am saying this right now as a way to be accountable. We are recording on Thursday for a Friday release. Before yeah. this episode goes live, I am emailing the people who have pitched us ideas and getting those things set up. Well, they are making my job hard because they're all good.
I know.
So it's going to be a little bit like choosing between children.
you've been telling me about them as they're coming in. There are some really, really good ideas.
They're very good. So I like them all. So if you have sent me a pitch, you're going to get a yes. It's just a matter of timing because I've liked them all. So, but I'm holding myself accountable that before this episode goes live, you will have an email in your inbox. So go check your email if you sent a pitch in. Okay. So today's episode
right.
has not been on our list.
No.
Ever.
No.
It is it's a direct result of a Twitter conversation
yeah.
that I had while I was supposed to be working, but I didn't feel like working. So I had a Twitter conversation. And clearly the universe wanted me to be there because we were given a show idea.
True.
I mean, we're given show ideas all the time and a lot of them go on the list, but we do this thing where we look at our list and we mm-hmm. have to kind of feel it. Like we have to look at it and go, yeah, I could totally talk about that this
week. Well, I think what makes this timely after you showed it to me and we talked about it is that it kind of follows up what we talked about last week.
Maybe so. Well, to give credit where credit is due, because yeah. this is not our idea.
Well, no, it wasn't, but
I think this is the coolest name ever on Twitter. I'm assuming you're a he because you're going by sir, but I know that doesn't mean anything. So soybean or sir_soy on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, mm-hmm. very lovely person to talk to, was very complimentary. I think had just listened to, I think episode 118.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to go back to the Twitter conversation. And so we got into a back and forth and you know, on Twitter, I speak in reaction GIFs. Like, that's just...
yes.
Well, I also love it when I get a good one. Like, if I cause you to have to react only by sending me a GIF, I'm very pleased with myself and very impressed with the other person.
You feel like you have...
Oh, I've done
gone
something.
Full circle in the universe.
Oh, yeah, I've done yeah. something. And I don't even remember what I said anymore. I'd have to go back to Twitter and look. But the reaction GIF I got back was of, oh, I believe it's when I referred to my colonoscopy as I wish they would have continued rooting around up there so I could keep sleeping. And the reaction GIF I got back was somebody spitting coffee on. And I thought, my work here is done.
Yeah.
But no, it was a pretty good conversation and it got me thinking. And it was one of those topics, like I said, every topic we've ever been sent, it goes into a list, but we yeah. do sort of look at our list and go, what are we feeling right now? What right. speaks to us?
What speaks to us? What has, sometimes it's things that have relevance in our life at the moment.
Absolutely. So, you know, clearly a completely unscientific
method. Yeah.
But it works. True. So this one was like, I just said, yeah. Part of it, though, and you and I have talked about this privately, and I'm sure I've kind of said this directly on the show in the past, is that a lot of the things we talk about how to do or ideas we try to give people of how to interact with each other, they're just life skills. So,
true.
You know, a lot of people try to think that DS... BDSM in general, but DS specifically, is like living on a completely different planet and you're supposed to interact completely differently than normal. And quite frankly, the skills you learn in DS or as a kinkster, you know, negotiating your BDSM life in whatever way, those are skills that are good to have in the vanilla world. And if more of us had those skills in the vanilla world, I think the vanilla world would be a better, happier place. I mean, knowing how to communicate, understanding and caring about consent, those things are important.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And learning how to trust yourself.
And the outsiders of BDSM look at us as the freaks.
I know. And I'm always like, oh. And, you know, I don't, hashtag not all vanillas, but sometimes I do look at vanilla people I know and I'm like, oh, no, you could not pay me enough money to go back. And I know, but they are also usually the ones that I would be terrified to let yeah. them know I'm kinky. Like, I just wouldn't be able to handle their judgment.
Well, you notice I said something different. I was thinking about this while I was writing a reply to something on FetLife today. And I didn't call them vanillas. Mm. I referred to them as outsiders. Outside of BDSM.
They're the outsiders. Well. I like that. I kind of like that. that. We are not the outsiders. They are the outsiders. I'm kind of okay with that. So anyway, the topic is, this is one of those things where it, I don't think we're going to be saying anything all that unique. I don't think, I personally will only be speaking for myself, as always. But this isn't...
Shocking.
I know. In case there is any doubt or question about it. But this, these things that, because I have, you know, a bullet point list like I always do. I'm not even going to ask what you were doing over there with your hands, and they can't see, and I couldn't describe it, but it looked like a personal moment. Are you okay over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yes.
How much coffee have you had today?
Not telling.
He's not blinking, y'all. He's not blinking. It could be the sugar high. You had an oatmeal cookie with your lunch.
Yeah.
And now we're recording, and I've, like, put chocolate syrup and flavored creamer in your coffee.
Yeah.
So, oh, good, a caffeine and a sugar high together. This is going to be a fun episode. My point to this is the stuff we talk about, to me, I might be referencing the kink community, but I think that the, if any of it rings true to you and you think, oh, maybe that's a new way to handle it, it works when you're negotiating a scene with a top or a bottom. It works when you're navigating your DS relationship. It works when you are, you know, going to a vanilla thing when you're meeting new people. It's like, to me, these are just sort of general ways of doing things with people in general. We've just labeled them as things to do in the kink community. You are distracting me today.
Sorry.
There's dust on our microphone thingy. I know.
Okay, go.
Okay. And now you know there's dust there too. So we did write a blog post about this. And it was about, in that blog post, it was sort of about things to consider about an individual when you meet them for the first time. It doesn't matter how they identify. It doesn't matter if you're trying to negotiate something with them or you're just getting to know them. And it was things, what one person thinks is obvious, somebody else will hear and go, I really never thought of it that way. And somebody else is going to hear, I know I'm supposed to do that, but maybe this is a good reminder. So it's stuff like being very leery of the person who, won't listen to you or interrupts you in a mean way, not in the way that I interrupt you out of total love and exuberance, not that kind of way. You know, it's how does somebody treat you when you interact with them? Mm-hmm. Or not even how they treat you, how you observe them treating other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I personally, and I've said this in past episodes, I wish more people would develop some more trust issues. Like, on one level, I admire people who can just be very open and open-hearted and meet somebody and just go, I give you all of the benefit of the doubt. I admire that. And then there's that cynical side of my brain going, stop, no! How do you know?
So in your world, no one would ever meet anybody.
Yeah, in my world, no. Yeah. I would sit in my little corner with my coffee and my computer and be very happy. It's not that people would never meet anybody. It's more that when they meet somebody, they would take what is said to them with a grain of salt, which I'm not saying is a healthy way to approach it. I know I have some serious trust issues, but sometimes I wish that the people who have been hurt over and over and over again because they kept being completely open with just the wrong people would take their time a little bit. And on the other side, I wish I, as a very closed off person, when I meet an actual physical person out in the community or at a munch or whatever, I wish I was less reserved because I think I miss out on opportunities by being so closed off. So there's a balance, and I haven't found it either. I'm not going to lecture anybody on the other side who is more open. I'm just going to say sometimes more trust issues might help you. But I have said that many times before.
True.
So I, you know, in the blog post I wrote, the link is in the show notes. I mostly talked about how somebody treats you, but I think that it's also important to watch how they treat other people.
Other people, absolutely.
I get very leery of somebody who's really nice to me, and then I observe them being kind of shitty to somebody else. Like, what makes me more special than the other person? And my mind goes, what do you want from me? Because I'm assuming if you're really crappy to that other person over there, but you're really nice to me, you must want something. That's not always the case, but that's just where my mind goes.
Right.
So when you go out into the kink community, or you're meeting anybody, we're gonna stick with kink community, because within the kink community, you might find a future partner, you might find somebody you want a scene with, you might just make some kinky friends. And we've done episodes on how to deal with drama in the kink community, which is extremely prevalent. I didn't think our community was drama free. I'm not Pollyanna about it. I'm you know, I'm not that naive, but I did not quite realize how deep some of the drama went.
And it kind of boiled to the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not the type of person who's gonna engage with that kind of drama. And so for me, it's more important to find the group or the space or the people that I'm most comfortable with. It doesn't mean that the other people that I'm not necessarily comfortable with are bad or wrong in any way. This is not, you know, the, oh, who's that feud? I was thinking about it. The
Hatfield and McCoy?
Yes, this is not the Hatfield and McCoys. I don't view it that way. But if I can figure out where I feel the most comfortable, then that's where I'm probably gonna
go, yeah,
be drawn to. And that's where I want to spend my time and energy. And within our own local community, seeing the very, very deep divides, I was like, yes, I would like to go be around the people where I feel most myself.
Well, the thing I find commendable, you know, yes, there was a big upheaval in our community here, a local community. There was a lot of drama that boiled to the surface. But, you know, and unfortunately, those things do happen.
Of course.
But what I find heartening is that a number of people have pulled together and are working to heal and bring people back together.
Yes, and I think that's the measure of, that's one of the measures of, is this a group that I want to be associated with? You know, when things get tough, what do they do? How do they respond? And that's with individuals and with groups of people. If I'm deciding, okay, this is where I want to be, I'm looking at all of that. It's never one thing in isolation. It's never one person that I don't like is going to make me not want to go to an event. Like, we hear a lot from people, and this isn't a judgment. It's just not how I do it. I'll hear from somebody, oh, if that person's going, I'm not going.
Right.
Well, I find that kind of sad because, wait, the rest, are you cool with the rest of us? The rest of us are there and we would like to see you. And also, I can be a little defiant. And if I think, did you just shake the microphone? You just shook the microphone. I'm cutting your coffee off.
But, them's fighting words.
I know. But if I get a little defiant. If I think that my presence might annoy somebody, I'm not above going and annoying the fuck out of them and having a good time. Because my personal take on it is, as long as that person has not done me harm, right? Like, and that is a judgment call that you can only make as an individual. How bad is your interaction with that person? And there are some really serious things that can happen. But if we're talking about somebody who is a mild annoyance, if we're talking about somebody who caused drama or tried to cause drama, but it's not... it's something that I can handle, but I don't like it. I don't like that person, but I don't feel threatened. I don't feel endangered. I don't have any of those kind of reactions. I feel like I'm letting them win when I say, well, if they're going, I don't want to go. Assuming I want to be around everybody else. Now, there are situations where you can't make, there's been violence or harassment or you've ever felt in danger, that's a completely different decision to have to make. But if we're just talking, I don't like that person, well, my baby girl side goes, neener, neener, I'm here anyway.
Well, you don't have to interact with them specifically.
No, and you don't. And that's the other thing, that when somebody says, if they go, I'm not going, that's what I'm thinking about too. Nobody's going to make you sit next to them and talk to them.
Right.
It's a big enough room. You can be on the other side. But those are personal decisions. The way I look at it is, the decision I'm going to make is, am I going to have fun or am I not going to have fun? If I think I'm not going to have fun, I'm not going. I got too much else to do to spend several hours being kind of miserable in a group of people or around a specific person. But if I think I will have fun, regardless of the one or two people that maybe are not my people, then I'm going to go, and I'm only going to be slightly amused if me having a good time annoys the fuck out of them.
Little catty, huh?
Only a lot. Only all in my head. I would never say anything out loud. I keep it. Okay, I would say it out loud into a microphone where I don't have to look at anybody but you. But still.
So how does being online play into all this?
I think it's a different skill set, because on one hand, you kind of do have to take people at face value at first, because you can't look at their body language. True. You can't watch their facial expression. I do think that if you are the type of person who has a sense of your own instinct, whether you're online or in person, it's important to listen to. Even if you can't define exactly why your instincts are screaming at you that something is wrong, or you have that little niggly feeling of this doesn't feel right, it's better to me to listen to that voice, because sometimes it's word choice and sometimes it's just a sense you get. And sometimes it's a million other factors that you've taken in that you don't even realize you've taken in. Like online, I'm going to go, shit, I'm going to Google you and I'm going to go look at your profile and I'm going to perv through whatever I can see.
I think that has a big, big play in it. You know, you look at somebody's profile, see what they have written about themselves. I know not everybody likes writing about themselves and saying things about themselves.
And people can be so uncomfortable with it that they are awkward at it, and it doesn't come out as well as they might like.
But, you know, do they talk about interests? You know, say, take FetLife, for example, or, you know, in their profile on FetLife, do they talk about other interests besides kink? You know, things that like, things that show that they're a well-rounded person. You know, on something like FetLife, it's easy enough to see, you know, what groups they belong to and how they interact with other people.
Yes. And, you know, we are told and we are taught that we should not make quick judgments about people, that we can be wrong. And I know many times in my life, I have stopped myself from listening to that little feeling that I've gotten. Whether if it's screaming at me, I listen to it. If it's just kind of quiet going, be careful, what will happen is I will doubt myself. I will question myself, and I'll think, well, maybe I'm being kind of judgy, because, you know, I can be a bitch. And I'll think, well, maybe I need to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't have concrete reasons that I can point to that tell me why I'm not feeling so good about this. And I will let myself, whether it's for 10 minutes or 10 days, get sucked into an interaction with somebody, only to eventually discover and finally be able to put my hands on the reason why, no, I should have listened to that voice. And so doing that enough times, I just automatically these days, I listen to that voice, you know, when...
And that is important. When you, you know, I have found myself in the past, when whether you call it gut instinct, inner voice, you know, whatever you call it, in the past, when I have not listened to that, especially when it's been screaming, oh, I've been in deep doo-doo.
Uh-huh. It never ends well.
It doesn't. You know, by all means, yes, if something in your inside, you know, your gut instinct is screaming at you, don't ignore that.
Right. And I think part of it, especially in the online, well, not even, I think both online and offline, we kind of have this, depending on our views of on life in general, but many people I know sort of have this view that you kind of just have to accept everybody. And to a certain extent you do, for the most part. Not Nazis, but just, I shouldn't have to say that, but just to put that out there, I don't accept Nazis. but you can accept the fact that those people are there and they can still not be your people. We do not have to be friends with everybody. No. We do not have to let everybody into our inner circle just because we worry that we might offend somebody or piss somebody off because, you know, I was nice to you first. You can be I can accept the fact that you're there and think, that's probably a very nice human being over there. I'm sure they have a lovely life and they're lovely people. They are not my people. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, while I would never be intentionally rude, I would try never to be dismissive. If I am, I would feel bad about that. But that does not mean that I'm going to be... let them into that inner circle. Even the outer inner circle.
There is a difference in being accepting of someone and inviting them to do a intense scene with you.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
There's a lot of levels between that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, just...
I'm showing as...
Right.
The extremes.
The 18 levels of kink.
with you, there's more levels than anyone would care to count. I don't have enough fingers and toes.
I know. I've got walls. I've got trust issues. I know. And I do think, though, that... And I think it would be foolish of us to not point out that sometimes we self-select and we decide people are not our people because we are not used to being in diverse situations. So I know that there are kinky clubs that are our own, overwhelmingly white, right?
Yes.
I know there are parts of this country, because I've lived there, where there are entire neighborhoods where people have never dealt with somebody of a different color. Okay? And so, you say something like that to them, they're going to be, quote, uncomfortable with anybody who is different from them. So, let me just lay this the fuck out, okay? I'm not as woke as I would like to be. I'm working on it. I get uncomfortable trying to talk about these things because I don't think I'm going to do it well and I might fuck it up. Here it goes anyway. If you are in a group of people and the only person that makes you feel uncomfortable is the person who looks different from you, has a different neurotypical ability, has a mental health illness, has a physical disability, speaks a different language, is part of a different religion, and that's the reason you're uncomfortable? Tough love, baby girl speaking, you have to get the fuck over that shit. It is, I think, if you are not used to being exposed to people who are different than you, it is normal to kind of go, I don't quite, could I say something wrong? I get it, okay? I don't even like to say mentally ill because it doesn't feel right to me. If you ever notice, my mental, quote, illnesses are all mental health issues. That's how I speak about it.
Yeah.
So if I was with somebody who was maybe more open and out there about their own, or they had more obvious symptoms, I might not know how to talk about that. That's not a good enough reason to think that that person can't be my people. Okay?
True.
It should not, I know it is, but it should not be based on those, on the characteristics of who that person is. It should not be because their skin's a different color. It should not be because of their religion. It should not be because of their country of origin. God knows it should not be because of their fucking legal status, okay? It should be about, if you decide a person is not your people, it needs to be about who they are as a person and how they interact with you.
Right.
Now, saying that is really, really easy. Overcoming inherent biases are much more difficult. And in that level, if you can go deep inside yourself, be a little introspective, and realize that maybe you have those biases, that's work you have to do on yourself. That is not anybody else's job to do. I know I have biases. I don't like them. I work on them. I don't always know them until I see them. That is the nature of life. We all have them. We all have to work on them. So, just want to say, when we're talking about how to decide if these people should be in your community or not, or you want to be part of their community, those are not the factors that should ever be part of that decision. Do I know that they are used as the factors? Of course, because people are people, and some people are shittier than other people, okay? Yeah. And some people are more ignorant than other people, and some people need to have that moment that jolts them so that they look at life differently.
Yes.
And those moments come when they come, and only if you are receptive to them. So, it's been niggling at me every time I've been, we've been trying to talk about this topic. I'm like, oh my God, I'm waiting for some asshole to go, yeah, I made that decision, and then say something like just awful and bigoted, and then I would have to be very mad. So, sorry, I made myself hot. Like,
yes, you did. I was sweating. Just noticing that your neck is all red and you're all worked up into a tizzy.
I am, and it's because I you know, as cynical as I am, I said it earlier, I want to believe the best in the BDSM community. I want to believe the best of everybody.
Yeah.
But the BDSM community is just a microcosm of the overall human community. And there are people who are violent, and there are people who do not respect consent, and there are bigots, and there are people who not just politics, I don't care about Republican versus Democrat, but the whole how you view your fellow human being, I would be morally opposed to. Those people all exist within the community. I'm not going to pretend they don't.
But they exist outside of the community as well. They exist in every spectrum of life, unfortunately.
Right. And there's a part of me that would like to say, I'm sure none of those people listen to this show. And I'm sure, quite frankly, that they probably tried to listen and then they ran and they went, oh Lord, no, not that one. But I'm not so Pollyanna that I think that either. And I think we are all works in progress and we are all in different places in that. And that if we are constantly striving to improve ourselves, then I can respect that more than the you can't be part of my community and I am made uncomfortable by you because you are different than me kind of. Like, I want, if there happened to be anybody actually listening and I didn't just run them off a few minutes ago, I hope that they get to a place where they realize they're on this path to self-improvement and that they can, that they have complete control over how they look at the world and they can choose to change. And they can choose to decide who they're going to be around based on, are you just a fucking asshole? Are you a nice human being? Are you caring? Are you kind? Are you open? Will you listen? Will you share your experience when you're comfortable? You know, will you defend somebody who can be perceived as weaker than you? Like, the traits that make up a good human being are all about how we treat one another and how we behave and how we interact with the world. And if I'm deciding who I want to be around and which community I want to be in and who I consider, quote, my people, those are the things I'm looking at, you know, and those are the things that matter, because the rest of it, I might not know how to, if there's what the right words are to use to talk about a disability. I might not know if there are issues that could be offensive to somebody of a different religion. Like, that's where I'm at in my journey of trying to deal with other human beings. But when I decide you're my people versus you're not my people, those aren't even considerations. Like, that's now on the other side, I would say that we all, but primarily not people of color, need to do better at trying to actually diversify, you know, being able to say that you have your one friend of color. You know, that's okay, that's the probably absolute least minimum that can be done, barest minimum, but you know, it's a big complicated mess, so I can't fix the big complicated messes. I can only do what I can do, and so what started out as kind of a lighthearted topic I've made very serious.
Yeah, you did. You got very deep and introspective on this.
I did, and I didn't mean to. I think it's because, one, I'm on Twitter too fucking much, and two, I keep reading the comment sections of stuff online, and that's like the worst place to go on the internet is the comment section of anything. And I just see people that, I promise you, in their circle of friends, they tell themselves every day that they're decent human beings, and then I watch how they treat their fellow human or talk about their fellow human. And I think, you've got work to do. You are not as nice as you think you are. So if we're going to talk about, and I think though that talking about how you basically judge other people for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds really naive to not sort of mention the gigantic ass fucking elephant in the room of the fact that there's a massive subset of people out there who make those decisions based solely on characteristics of a person that aren't about their inner humanity. Mm-hmm. They're just the group they happen to belong to, you know? And so it just felt false not to say that. I'm really hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it from over here. I know, my poor mermaid shirt. I'm very flushed. I am struggling with this conversation because I do not know how to have this conversation. I don't know if this is the place to have this conversation. I don't know if we're the right people to have this conversation. I usually try not to do anything that opens me up to internet hate. But if I'm going to talk about how I, and judge is a harsh word, but there we go, how I judge people.
Yeah.
It's just wrong not to say, don't judge on those things. I'm all kinds of awkward. I'm 50 shades of awkward right now. So let's get back to the things on my bullet point list. This was not on it at all. I hope I haven't lost anybody. God. I observe. I'm constantly watching people.
Yeah.
And not, hopefully not in a creepy way. I don't come across as creepy when I'm watching people, do you think?
No.
Okay.
I'm a people watcher myself.
You openly watch people. I'm taking your introvert card. I do the...
I watch. I don't interact.
No, I see you wave to people you don't even know.
Waving to someone from the safety of your car.
I've seen you make eye contact with people who are walking the opposite way as you. I'm sorry, the appropriate response is to look down as if you did not see them and they don't exist. You can tell I'm really good at making friends, right? But no, I do. I watch people because, like I said earlier, it's not just about how they interact with me. It's about how they interact with other people. And it's also about how they interact with people who could be perceived as weaker than them, could be perceived to have less power than them, and what we perceive and what is real are two different things. But if you are decent to people who can't do anything for you, or you think you have more power than, or prestige than, or whatever, I'm gonna think, okay, they're probably okay. You know, that's a good sign. You know, I'm also gonna pay attention to, how do you talk about the people who aren't there? You know, because the idea that if you'll badmouth this person to me, you will badmouth me to somebody else. That's completely true. And so I'm going to watch that as well. And I'm going to listen very carefully. Mm-hmm. I am not above gossip myself. I will not pretend that I don't get in a little closer and go, tell me more. I'm a nosy bitch, and I know I'm a nosy bitch. But there's a difference between saying, oh, this happened, you didn't know about it, let me tell you the details, and making judgment calls about other people or bad-mouthing other people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure my love of gossip is probably not a good thing about me.
Well, the thing I've noticed about you, which, I mean, doesn't make it 100% right.
I know I'm getting a very judgy look from him, y'all.
Not that it makes it right all the way around.
You'll hear him. I'm getting lectured.
You will listen to gossip.
Oh, yeah. I want to know.
But you won't spread gossip.
Oh, no. I will listen because, one, I get to know something. And here's... I like to know things. But it's... I know I'm not making myself look very good in this part of the discussion. So there we go. I get to know things that I recognize. Here's the thing about gossip. It's why you have to be careful with gossip. You don't know if that's actually true. What you know is what the other person thinks or wants you to know. Those two things can be completely apart and separate from the actual truth. But I'm listening. I'm learning as I'm listening. So I'm knowing things. Mm-hmm. And I am taking that information I'm given and I am cross-referencing it with what I know about the person being talked about. Sometimes it validates something I thought. And that's not always right, okay? Mm-hmm. I know that. I'm work in progress. I said that a few minutes ago while I was sweating. it validates a thing. It may validate a thing I thought. It may confirm something that I knew some of the details on, but I didn't know all. Or, and, depending, it tells me everything I need to know about the person talking to me. Right?
Yeah.
Are they malicious? Are they taking, you know, is it kind of gleeful gossip of, let me tell you this awful thing that has happened to this other person. I think it's hilarious. I love this. Look at the power trip in my eyes because I am spreading this gossip. Am I stating things that are harmful to that other person? Am I taking something that through a different lens is perfectly harmless and making it seem really seedy and awful? Yeah. I mean, there's that. I know not everybody is capable of that. So it's not like I am telling people that they should go listen to gossip. That's probably one of my worst traits. You're right. I do not spread gossip. I listen and listen and listen. I have that face. I get people's most intimate stories I did not ask for. And I don't mean the emails we get. I mean, I'll be sitting at a table in a Starbucks and a random person at the next table over will tell me their whole life story. And I don't know why. Okay. The thing is, one, I would never repeat it, not in a right. in a context that would be gossipy. Mm-hmm. I tell you everything. It's just the nature of it. But I'm not going to be the one to spread it because the way I look at it is if you tell me something, you've entrusted me with information.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted me to tell people, then I expect you to say, it's okay. You can tell. It should be understood if you tell me something. John Brownstone knows it. I'm so sorry. I think I'll just put that disclaimer out there. But outside of that,
it
doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
Which is probably why people do feel comfortable telling me things because they've never heard me in any setting tell somebody else a story because it's not my place to tell that story. But oh, yes, I love listening to gossip because you can learn so much about everybody involved, especially the person telling the gossip. So, if you want me to think well of you in a public setting or in a face-to-face setting, don't gossip to me because I will be making thoughts and I will be deducing things, not just about what I'm being told, but by the person telling me them. You know? So, and you know what's funny? I don't, some people, they gossip and it's not malicious. It really is not. And you can tell a difference. Again, you can tell a difference, and some of it's about your gut instinct, and some of it's about your experience with the world. And if you're the type, you hear not malicious gossip at all, it's not mean, it's not mean-spirited, it's just kind of fun, let's talk about this thing, and you still don't like it, that's okay. That just means that person is not your person. There are how many billion of us on the planet? We don't have to actually get along with and want to be around all of them. You really only need like inner circles and then outer circles and then the people that we all have them you have to be around. It's one of the reasons why no matter how poor we get, I will not go back and work in the public sector because I have now spent several years of my life not being forced to interact with people that outside of the job I would not cross the street to spit on them to put a fire out for them. You know what I mean? We all have those situations, though, where you have to be around people you just detest. But when we're talking about the kink community, where you have a choice, you get to choose. And you are not obligated to let everybody in just because, well, this is the kink community.
No.
We have this one thing in common. Am I being too judgy? To me, you're being, quote, too judgy. If you take your opinion and you go spreading it around to everybody to try and change other people's minds, you're being too judgy if you take one personality quirk of somebody else's that you really don't like and decide that they're absolutely evil because of that one thing. Like, those things are too judgy. But looking at somebody and going, I'm sure they're a nice human being, they are not my human being, and going the other way, that is perfectly acceptable.
I know. But, you know, even in the online world, though, I have to say, you know, the creepers kind of make themselves known.
Once you learn the signs, you really know.
Yeah. Well, you know, for example, and guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to call Mosty out right now. She had her chance to rant. I'm going to do a little bit now, too.
Oh, good. I can maybe dry the sweat under my arms.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a breath. you know, we had signed up on a poly site. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, it was, I'm not going to say the site, but it was a horrifying experience. It really, really was. I mean, I put in there what we were looking for, what we weren't looking for, and, you know, some of our interests outside of our kink life. And every single frickin' message I got was, hey, what's up?
Did you get the heart emoji? I get the heart emoji a lot.
No, I never got that one. Never got that one. You know, can I see more pictures?
Yeah.
You know what? Guys, come on.
Right.
I'm embarrassed to be a guy seeing that shit.
You, in that brief moment, lived the online life of every woman, regardless of how she identifies. Every woman who lives as a woman, identifies as a woman, puts herself out there as a woman. Yeah. You, in that small moment, lived our life.
In that small microcosm. Yeah. I mean, it was...
Welcome to womanhood, Daddy. You're a real woman now.
Woohoo!
I know, aren't you excited? Aren't you excited?
But it was really bad. I mean, you know, can't form full sentences.
All right, can't. I mean, yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, you know, I am not on the scale of you when it comes to writing, by far. All right, but I can form decent legible sentences.
Let me get this straight. When you are online and you're trying to meet another human being, you decide that it is better to behave as an actual human being with thoughts and feelings?
Oh, my bad.
What the hell is wrong with you? Okay, so I know there are listeners out there who can go back further than this, but this is my experience. This is as far back as I can go. When I was in college... late 90s, I graduated college in 2002, so right in that space. We were given computers and an internet access the moment we walked in as freshmen in college. Okay, and then we got to take the computer with us when we graduated, and it was so exciting. So it was my first unregulated access to the internet.
To the World Wide Web.
Right. Now, it might have been regulated. I was so naive and innocent, it never occurred to me to look for porn. I don't even know if I could have, okay? I don't know. Never thought of it. What I did do was sign up for an ICQ account.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, yes. I remember ICQ, yeah.
I met my ex-husband on ICQ. I know, poor ICQ. What I learned very quickly then, 98, 99, mm-hmm. was that is how the majority of, even if you're not a creeper, but you're coming across as one, creeper guys contact humans they think they might want to have whatever with. So I got to the point, and here's fate is so weird. I was getting to the point where every message I was getting, I had it open so that anybody could message me because I was young and stupid and naive, and it never occurred to me to not do that. They were hey, they've been doing that since I think on cave writing and back in Neanderthal days.
I had such a different experience on ICQ.
Oh, I had great conversations. Do not get me wrong. I met some great people.
I made some wonderful, wonderful friends back in the day on ICQ.
No, I met some great people. I had some really interesting. There was a guy in Ohio. He said he was 40. I was so young and stupid. I didn't disbelieve him. I had computer sex with him. It was fake. I had computer sex with him, and it still never occurred to me to go look for porn. Anyway, so young and naive. But I was getting messages every night of, hey, hey, hey. And so I started ignoring them because that's what I do on Twitter. It's what I do on Instagram. It's what I do on Facebook.
And see, I was meeting, excuse me, and I was meeting people that I made friends with. One was a military couple in Georgia. Another one was somebody I talked to from, he was from Canada. Okay. Another was she was a bush pilot in Alaska.
here's the difference, okay?
Okay.
One, you did not advertise yourself as a 19-year-old single female.
Okay.
And two, you are a breed apart from many men I've met in my life, okay? And other people out there who are thinking, I've known guys like you, they are also realizing that those that handful of guys that we've met like you, you are a breed apart. So, and you're the type of person to actually get in a conversation. So here I am, 18, 19, hey, every fucking night, hey.
Oh, God.
Why I didn't just turn that ability off, I don't know.
Yeah.
But my ex-husband sent, hey, I ignored him. I was ignoring them all at that point. If you weren't, I had criteria by then. I'd finally gotten criteria.
Okay.
Say something interesting, then we can have a conversation. And he came back with, why are you ignoring me? Now, he was not the first guy to ever ask that. He was the first guy, for whatever weird reason, I decided to respond to. Now, all of my instincts, God, see what happens when you don't listen to your
instincts. Bells and whistles and sirens were going off.
He's just a creeper. He's just a creeper. He saw that, you know, he saw whatever I had, you know, whatever. And I said, because you're not saying anything interesting. So then he started saying things interesting. Now, 38-year-old me would tell 19-year-old me to turn off fucking ICQ and go study something. Okay. Because I didn't know any better. But no, my point is that little bit of getting those random, didn't even try, think that all they have to do is exist and we will fall at their feet kind of thing. I know it's been going on forever, but my first experience with it was on ICQ 98.99.
Okay.
So I would love anybody out there, if we did not lose you during all of our asides, if you experienced it digitally earlier than ICQ, please let us know, because I'd love to sort of track this. But I promise you, there is a cave drawing somewhere, and some cave dude was like, hey. Right. Exactly. Okay. And on my non-judgy days, I will think things like, well, they haven't been taught how to do that, or they don't know what to say, or they're feeling just as awkward as everybody else. And yes, I think those things are true. I also think there's this thing called the Google and the internet, and you can learn to do better. And I think because people have so much access to information, I have less patience for that kind of thing. Because if you truly want to be better at your interactions with people, it has to start with you wanting to improve yourself and going out and seeking ways to improve yourself, whether that is studying something or just asking somebody, how do I do this better? What am I lacking here? Is there something wrong with me? Am I fucking this up? And in order to connect with people in the community, we have to, and this is a judgment call here. I don't think there's a single right answer on this. I think we have to be willing to put a little bit more of ourselves out there. We have to be, I'm as reserved as I am in public, and you have witnessed it. You have witnessed it. I probably come across as like an ice queen. I am so silent and reserved.
You can have a resting bitch face that people would die for.
I scare people. I know I do. And when so what I'm about to say is how I know this is true. When I allow myself to be just a little bit vulnerable, not a lot. Nobody should wait for me to, in sitting at the munch over my basket of French fries, to tell you my whole life story, because that's not happening. That is not me.
Yeah.
But when I open up just a little bit, and for me, it's snarky humor. I'll throw out some sarcastic comment, and normally I won't even do that much. I know people listening to the podcast are like, "What?" I assure you, come visit us. Come to the munch. But the moment I let a crack show and a little bit of myself peek out, it opens a floodgate, because there'll be somebody in that group. If it's the right dynamic and I'm feeling that good energy that we've talked about in past episodes, there'll be somebody there that gets it. And then I've made a connection. And once I make a connection, then there's more, there's room for more connection.
Sure.
And that is, if you feel like, it's not just about how we meet other people and we decide we like them. It's, wait a moment, I think I'm doing all the right things, but I'm still not finding my people. I would say, if it can't be everybody. If it's everybody, it's actually really you. I think that's probably a true thing. So if you still don't have like a one person here or one person there, and it's just a bad experience every single place you go, the next thing to try, if you've exhausted all of the resources, is what can you do differently? And I don't mean be a different person. God knows, don't ever be fake. Don't be somebody you're not. No,
but what things can you do differently?
Right.
I talked with a sub on Tumblr who was very disheartened in regards to BDSM and kink dating sites.
Mm.
Just so happens she's a developer and is working on making one of her own.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, there's a thing. Well, you know, none of what's out there is working in my eyes as someone who lives this and who is looking for something. How can this be made better?
Right. What can I do differently?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's how you interact with other people. And sometimes you go off and you make your own group. Here, case in point. So we have in our local, very local, like hyper local area, we have two groups that meet for munches. They're right. Not both called munches, but they're essentially munches. One on one Saturday, one on another. We, for a couple of months, went to both.
Mm-hmm.
And this month, I'm actually speaking as me, Kayla Lord's person, at our third Saturday munch.
Yes.
This coming weekend.
Correct.
I'm trying really hard not to think about that or I'll get nervous.
Day after tomorrow.
I love you, Daddy. And for people who are listening to this episode the day it comes out, tomorrow. And if you're listening on Saturday, today. after that, I'm not going to do the counting. But the other one, nice people. The place they go to has got really good food.
Yes. Nice atmosphere, too.
Right. But it's not... When we compare the two... events, the two groups, the one on the third Saturday fits us like a glove.
Yes.
It's got a nice diverse range of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice diverse range of kinks. Were people in the group going, that's a kink. And the fact that the person there felt comfortable enough to say, I got this kink. This is what I like.
Right.
I walk in and even when I don't know somebody, I'm still so relaxed that my ice queen bitch face comes off.
Goes away, yes.
Which is how I would agree to speak. So this month, in the month of February, the decision was made mutual, like on our own. We didn't talk to anybody else. We decided not to go to the second Saturday one.
Right.
Because we were like, we only have so much time, and if we're going to spend our off time doing something, let's go where we feel we just love it. Like, you walk away and you go, God, I loved that. That's third Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What I found funny was that other people that we really like, on their own without talking to us, it wasn't like there was a conversation, had come to a similar conclusion.
True.
And so I couldn't go because I had stuff going on. But y'all met up and did your own thing because you all connect as friends. It wasn't, nobody was calling it a munch. Nobody was like, oh, this is, it wasn't that. It was just
a group of people getting together.
Right. And so that's another thing. In the kink community, there is nothing wrong. And we said this in the drama, kink community drama episode.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with going, ooh, we get along over here. I don't really like that one. I get along with them over there. Ooh, there's that other person. Getting together, message each other on FetLife,
right. Set
a time to go hang out, just y'all, so mm-hmm. that it's people you really connect with.
Right.
That's perfectly legitimate too.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be comfortable with the whole group. You can just be comfortable with two or three people.
Yep.
But that, to me, only happens when you, if you are like me and you're very, very reserved, you got to let the mask slip just a little bit. If, like, let's say you have this mental checklist of things that I expect out of people I want to be around, you know, integrity, honesty, not judgy, you know, just whatever your criteria might be.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't assholes. That's a good criteria to have. So they've checked the box and you like them, but you don't necessarily feel that connection yet. At that point, assuming they've checked all those boxes that you have going on in your head,
mm-hmm.
now it's time. And it took me, how many years did it take me? It took me 2 or 3 years. You got to let that reserve crack just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
That was a challenge even for me pushing those boundaries with you. Oh, boy. Those tearful nights.
Those were the times you sent me by myself. I'm thinking of the munches where we've gone together.
True.
And it's only been in the past 3 or 4 months that anybody ever heard my voice. If it wasn't a one-on-one conversation. So we have some friends that when we go to the Munch, if we're sitting together, I will turn to them and talk to them and be fairly animated. Mm-hmm. But in a group discussion, I have nothing to say.
True.
I just need to sit back and watch. That nothing to say. Nothing to say. Yes, I know, dear listeners, you find that shocking. I know.
Yeah, don't we all?
I am the soul of restraint in public. And only in public. But it was when I just let the mask slip away. And it's not like I'm trying to put on airs. I think that those of us who are reserved and don't always come across very well, and so we sometimes do give off sort of a, not a bad vibe, but not a friendly vibe. So people might want to connect with us, but we either intimidate them or we make them think, oh, they're not interested or whatever it might be. That becomes on us, but it's hard. I'm not going to pretend it's not.
Yeah.
But it so far, like I said, once all my mental checklist boxes were checked about a person or a group,
yeah,
I've never regretted letting it slip a little bit. And it's that trust issue. So I will throw out the snarky comment, the sarcastic comment, wait to see how it lands in the group. And not that I have like all the best sarcastic lines. I don't. Sometimes it's just a shitty line, but I'll throw it out. And if I get a favorable response, well, then I get a little bit more comfortable and I relax a little bit. And so then it comes out again and I let something, maybe it's not a sarcastic comment. Maybe I'll join the discussion, right? And I sit back mentally. I'm doing this all in my head, okay? It's like I got a clipboard on sitting there at the table. But then I'll let that out into the world. I'll say my piece about a topic and I'll sit back and I'll watch. How do people take that? And what finally got me to stop being so reserved at the Munches, whichever Munch we're at, was when another submissive who I have seen at Munches for years, I never even had a conversation with, after the Munch was over, all the women beelined it for the bathroom. We were like, gotta go.
Oh, and, yes.
And I had a submissive come up to me and say, oh my God, thank you for saying that. Thank you. And it was a lot like the affirmations I get from talking online where people go, oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that.
I remember who it was.
Yes.
And I remember what was being talked about. Yes.
And so it was a moment where I connected with that individual on a one-on-one level and thought, oh, okay, here's a common bond we have.
Yeah.
And I'd never gotten that. You sometimes just get a weird feeling about people. I'd never gotten that kind of feeling. So I was like, oh, okay. But because I got the positive feedback in some form, and positive feedback is sometimes just as simple as somebody smiled at you or came up to you afterwards and said, I don't think we've met. Hi, my name is.
So, yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be somebody saying something nice about you. And God, if I waited around for that, I would be waiting a long time. But that helped. And that made me realize that what I do online, I need to not be afraid to do in real life because I'm missing out on connections with other good people that I could be making.
True.
Yes. I think we've had a lot to say about this topic.
I think we did.
I did not realize we had so much to say about this topic. I just looked at the clock.
Yeah.
And also, I think I realized it when I watched you suck the bottom of your coffee cup dry through the straw. I gave him an iced coffee this time, y'all. Usually it's a hot coffee. And y'all, I'm talking and I'm trying to keep my train of thought for once. And his eyebrows went up to his hairline, but they also scrunched. Like, what the fuck? It's because he had gotten to the bottom of his coffee cup. I'm so sorry. It's not a coffee cup that always refills itself.
It's not an endless coffee cup.
No.
You got to work on that.
Technology is not caught up. I'm so sorry.
Damn.
You're more likely to get a TARDIS than you are to get an endless cup of coffee.
If I can get a TARDIS, I can keep going back and getting more coffee.
Oh, God. This will be an episode where Thursday night, when we go to bed, I will be up for an extra 30 minutes going, oh, my God, did I offend everybody? I will be the first to admit that certain topics I am imperfect at talking about. Well, it's like everything else. You can disagree with us. We are not right. We're not scared of that or offended by that. You just cannot be an asshole.
We are not the only voice on right. any subject.
So God knows if there is a better way of looking at this, a better way of dealing with differences and including having more diverse groups, I am open to being educated. I am open to learning how to be better at it. We are having more serious conversations about our involvement in our local community.
Yes.
And rebuilding a dungeon presence. And that will be very important to me, to be an inclusive, diverse place.
Yeah.
So God knows I'm gonna need all the education I can get on that.
Right.
So I did get deep and I did make myself so flushed that I got sweaty.
You did.
That is all very true.
Folks, I kid you not. A lot of times when she rants like that, you know, we're sitting here in front of the microphone and I'm in my office chair. And when she gets like that, it's very comfortable and also helps my back that I recline back in the office chair. So I'm doing this while she's going on and I'm watching her neck just start glowing pink. Glowing deeper pink, going into a red.
And that is because I do fear saying it wrong and being misunderstood when my intentions are not bad, but my language might be imperfect.
Yeah.
And I'm not smart enough to know how to say things. But it's important, in God knows in today's political climate, just as in any other time in life, that when we start talking about how you decide somebody is somebody you want to know or to be around or to have part of your kind of tribe of people, that there are, I'm not going to pretend that there are not people within our own community who, for all that we are all outsiders and could lose our jobs tomorrow in some cases, or our children because we're kinky, can still look at another group of people who have a different skin color or sexuality or religion or country of origin or whatever, and somehow think that those people are different or bad and that they deserve to be excluded. And if I'm going to talk about how we find the people that we connect with, I just want to make it clear that we do not tolerate those kinds of judgments being made, but we do recognize that they happen and that we do not condone it, and it should be based on how we treat each other. I might not always have the know how to talk about a topic because it's not a lived experience, but I'm not going to decide that I can't be around it or address it or allow somebody to be near me and be close to me because it's something different than what I know. I think that that's absolute bullshit. And so we got really heavy, and if I was imperfect in how I said it, please forgive me, and in a non-asshole way, please educate me.
Okay. On that note,
I know, let's do a lighthearted bonus section.
Yes.
I'm going to try really hard.
Okay. Are we good?
I don't know. We'll let other people decide.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Can I? Please? Please? We all need something lighthearted, Daddy. Not just me, the crickets too.
Go ahead, baby girl.
Thank you, Daddy. We got a postcard. You know what I have not done in probably like a dozen episodes?
Sent postcards back to the people who have sent them?
We were not going to point that out. What I was thinking is that I had not given out the address. That is what I was thinking. Oh. I was not going to cast judgment on anybody. That is not what I was going to do.
And here I am, the voice of...
just calling me on my bullshit.
Of your conscience.
No more coffee for you. Okay, so if you're still with me and I did not run off every single cricket, hi. We did get a postcard. And if you are new to being a cricket, or you just joined us in the past like dozen episodes, or I didn't mention the address, and you're like, how do people know where to send a postcard?
What's the postcard thing about?
Oh, Lord. First of all, I do have a link on the site on livingbdsm.net called The Postcard Project, because I'm shit at naming things, and that's what I called it. It's not a project. Just send me mail, and I will eventually send you mail in return. That's... No. No, it is... No. No, it is not. I'm not even going to repeat that. No. No. But I did get a postcard. Yes. So, first of all, if you're interested... Oh, that's true. Yes. We got a postcard. It was not just sent to me. Yes.
I'm part of this too, remember?
Wink, wink. Yes. Yeah. We got a postcard. Okay. So, first of all, if you've heard about the postcard thing, but haven't gone back to listen to, because I have not been doing, here's the address. If you want to send us a postcard, and if you include your return address, we will send you one back. It is P.O. Box 391. P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. Crystal Beach, Florida. Zip code 34689. 34689. I need you to know that John Brownstone, as I'm saying it, bobs his head. And I, for many episodes, had a specific way I said it, like a rhythm, like a pattern. And I fucked it up. Not for me. I'm perfectly happy by saying the word zip code, and his head just bobbed like it didn't know where it was supposed to go. I upset your rhythm, didn't I?
Followed the bobbing brownstone.
That sounds dirty.
Yes, it does.
I think I like that. So we did get a postcard this week. It is from Canada. It's from my friend Tiffany. I talk to her on Facebook a lot. This is, hi, Kayla and JB. Hoping this postcard makes it to you. Loving the podcast and your work. And thanks for the chats, because we do chat not every day, but every few days we talk. And so it is beautiful. And are they black bears? Tiffany, you'll have to tell me. I'll take a picture and pop it up on Instagram too, so you can see this pretty picture. But it's from Canada, and it's really, really pretty. And there we go. We got a postcard. Yeah. And see, with Tiffany, poor thing, she sent one ages ago, and apparently the Postal Service ate it.
Black bear cuffs.
Oh, there it was on the, if I had just read the read. Small print.
Damn. Read. See, it's like reading someone's profile. Read what it says.
Oh, God. That's like reading the comments. Now I'm teasing. They are black bear cubs, and they are, on the picture, they are really cute. Like, this is what makes people think that, oh, a bear would be cuddly, because you're looking at it as a cub. And if you saw the mama bear, you go, no, not cuddly at all. Yeah. But yeah, so she sent one. She's, as far as we know, the first, hopefully the last, to ever have sent us something and it not make it here. So then she sent another one, and it took a while, because she sent it a while ago. She and I have been chatting about it, but it did arrive. So yeah. Yay. And that is awesome. And I don't want to, I'm sure I have other things we can talk about, but I think I'm good. We are, after we finish recording this episode, if you are a paid member of the Loving BDSM community on any level, we are recording our mid-month video on Kinky Fuckery right after we finish recording this episode.
Yes.
And in a perfect world, the video will be online sometime Thursday, but Friday at the latest. And we're going to be talking about sex toys for penises.
Yay.
And I'll be turning on all of your sex toys so that people can hear the sounds they make.
Woo!
I know. There will not be a live demonstration of sex toy y'all. But if you're interested about cock rings and some of the other kinds of toys that we'll be showing off, that video should be in the Kinky Video Forum. That is accessible if you're a paid member. You do have to be a paid member.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going. We're going to do that. And that, hopefully, I will lighten up a bit doing that.
Yes.
Your toys do not let me wave them around as if they're wands, though.
No.
So I will have to find another way to have fun with your penis sex toys. I'm sure I can do it. I'm sure I'm up for the challenge.
I'm sure you will find a way. You are creative.
I try and, to be.
Yeah.
And filthy. I'm creative and filthy, and it's wonderful. So,
I like that filthy mind of yours.
I know, that's why you married me. To our crickets, we do love you, and that's all. I could probably wax poetically, but it's just that we love you.
Yeah, we do.
I get more messages now from people who like want to make sure, like, I know. They go, I listen all the way to the end, and I'm like, yay, somebody listens all the way.
And you know, I have to say this. I can't say their name because they did not consent to this, but it just came to my mind. I received a really wonderful message from somebody on FET the other day. Mm. Just at the time we're recording this, I had just responded to them prior to this recording this, and they were saying that his girlfriend introduced him to our podcast. And he was having a really bad day at the time and said after listening to it, it brightened his day and opened up some dialogue between him and his girlfriend.
Yay! You know, yeah. I have to say, I get messages more frequently than I used to about people who say, I listened to this and it improved our relationship. Or I got my partner to listen to this with me, and now we're talking about things in a different way. Like, some kinksters I really respect will say things like, please don't ask me what I think about something about kink or something about BDSM, because what I think is only how I play, and I can't tell you how to play. And yeah. We have had the conversations where I worry that people will want us to do that. To tell them exactly step by step what to do. And what I'm finding is the vast majority of our listeners and people who are in the community and on the site and interact with us, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, please do, but it's more that we model a way of doing something that even if it doesn't fit them, it's different from the stereotype. And it gives them the freedom to go, wait, I don't have to do the stereotype. They're not doing the stereotype. I can do this the way I want.
Right.
And I'm not trying to turn the whole world into a daddy and baby girl dynamic. First of all, that would annoy the fuck out of me. if there are a lot more me running around, I'd be like, oh, these people got to go somewhere. I cannot handle this. But all I want to do is take off some of that mystique of, oh, it's only this way. Whatever you in your mind have defined DS or BDSM as being this one way. Mm-hmm. I just want to like peel that back that and go, nope, there's another way.
Yep.
And it is whatever way works for you.
Right. I mean, even Valentine's Day, we did Valentine's Day like our way.
Our way, yeah.
You know, neither one of us are big on crowds, especially crowded restaurants. So yeah. I took Kayla the day before Valentine's Day, we went to a restaurant she had never been to before. We sat out over the water and enjoyed a very delicious and quietly intimate lunch together with no interruptions, no big crowds. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it immensely. Valentine's Day, yes, we exchanged cards, but we did not do anything other than we spent some time together,
mm-hmm.
Sitting on the sofa watching
Babylon 5. Because we're geeks like that.
Yeah. And then we went to bed and we respectively played with some toys.
We played with sex toys together. Yeah. I was like, I have some reviews that I need to write, and one of them is a toy for you, and can you just play with your sex toy with me right here? And, you know, it sounds kind of boring when you say it like that, but
you know what? It was a good time. We spent time together.
Right. And that's how we do it. And I'm not going to make a judgment on how other people do it, only to say that if it doesn't fulfill you and it doesn't leave you feeling good about who you are or your relationship or the people you interact with, or, you know, if it doesn't lift you up and it only brings you down, then I'm going to say that that's probably not the right thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean my way is the right thing. It means that there's maybe another way to do it. And that has been one of the most sort of uplifting things recently, of people going, we thought we were this, and then we learned, no, it can be different.
Not. Yeah. We don't have to be that.
And we're not this, we're that. And
we can step outside the box.
Exactly. So, and sometimes I don't really feel like we're giving BDSM advice or DS advice. I feel like it's, hey, take this and use this with people advice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It can go either way.
Sometimes. Because I think that what happens is we get so bogged down in the mystique of BDSM and the eroticism and the what it's supposed to mean and what we see and what we read and what we find on Tumblr when we're perving for porn. And, you know, if that's your first and maybe even only look at it, that's what you think is real. You don't know anything any different. And you know, I love sort of breaking that down and going, no, you can be.
Breaking the mold.
Oh, yeah. That poor mold took one look at us and went, no.
You don't fit any mold, I know.
So, yeah, I did not mean to get overly serious, but it just felt I felt like I had to say it, you know? Oh. So now I'm all in this weird, you know, when you want me to stop being so serious, you do that tone. Okay, it's your way of going, shut up. And I'm so submissive, I will call you on that shit. What? He pulled my hair, Well, what?
Snarky.
I know. Hey, you're the one that bought me the cup. I'm going to take a picture of it at some point.
Yes.
That says, Queen of Spunk and Sass. And here's what's funny.
That's you.
I know what they mean by spunk and sass, but I'm a sex blogger. And I think, yes, I'm also queen of that spunk too. And I feel like that's the perfect note to leave it at.
Yes.
Okay, we love you guys.
We love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for still being there. If we have helped you, we are so happy for it. But just knowing you're out there, you help us in ways that we just can't even describe.
Absolutely.
So we love you. Bye.
Bye. Till next time.
Till next time.